Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Our text will begin in verse 3. But let's begin reading in verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. That is always the commandment. That is always the commandment. Sin not. In any given situation, what should God's people do? Sin not. Now, are God's people free from the law? Are they free from the bondage of trying to win God's favor through the obedience of the law? Absolutely they are. Completely, completely free from it. They are saved by God's free and sovereign grace. That's how people are saved. That's how people are saved. When we come to talking about a person being saved or unsaved, with him or cast away from him, God's people are saved by his free and sovereign grace. Now, do we, in response to that, deliberately sin against him that his grace may abound? Do we just stay in the condition we're in, just thrive in that sinful condition, just because it was his grace that saved us, having no regard for his word? All right? Are we saved through the deeds of the law? No, we are not. Do we then have no regard for his word? Do we throw away his word and throw away his commandments and take no thought of them? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Do we willingly bring disgrace to him just because he saved us in spite of our disgrace to him? That's all we brought to him in the beginning, was disgrace. The scripture says, and the apostle Paul said, and all God's people say, God forbid. God forbid. Absolutely not. We all cry, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In spite of us, he made intercession for us. He appeased God's wrath against our sin by paying our debt with his own body and with his own blood. And that's what verse 2 says. He is the propitiation for our sins. He's the payment. He made the payment. He was the payment. And not for ours only. John being a Jew, speaking of the Jews, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Thank God he did this for a particular people scattered all over this world. That just thrills me. He has a people scattered all over this world. He has advocated for some out of every nation on this earth, all the way down to every tribe, every village, every family tree, every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue. All right, now here's the question that I always ask, we all ask, everybody ought to ask. Are we counted among these people? He has a particular people that he advocated for. Are we counted among these people? Are we included among the souls that he advocated for? Does that mean, what that means is, are we saved? Are we saved? Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The scripture doesn't pull any punches, does it? He tells it like it is. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abide in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. He said, this is how we can know that we know him and are in him. If we keep his commandments, if we keep his word. To know him and to be found in him is life. It is life eternal. Our Lord said in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I might know him. That's it. Nothing else matters. That I might win Christ and be found in him. How can I know if I know him? How can I know if I'm in him? Verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Turn with me over to John 14. John 14, verse 15, our Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. I tell you this, keeping his commandments has everything to do with love. It has everything to do with love. He did not say, if you want to be saved, keep my commandments. He did not say that. We are not saved by keeping his commandments. We are not saved by keeping his commandments. I would like to repeat that through the rest of the Bible study. We are not saved by keeping his commandments. We are saved by the blood that ran from his veins. The blood that he poured all over our sin. That's how we're saved. He did not say, if you want to be saved, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Chapter 15, verse 10, John 15, verse 10. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And that's a big statement. I read it when I studied this. I was turning to verses. I read that and I acknowledged what it said. And I read it again. I put it in my notes. And I read it again and read it again. I went back over my notes, these notes on Thursday. I went back over them on Friday. I went back over them on Saturday. This morning, it hit me. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Now listen to this. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments. God gave a whole book full of commandments. He said, I kept my Father's commandments. We're about to see through the course of this morning, he said, now I have given you some commandments. All right, so he said, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. Meaning he doesn't sit there and tell his servants all the ins and outs of what he's doing. He just says, go do this. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. That's what I command you, that you love one another. Now, all these verses that we're looking at have an if then in them. All of these verses have an if then. Look at John 14, verse 15 again. If you love me, then keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 15, verse 10, again, it says, if you keep my commandments, then you shall abide in my love. Verse 14 again. Then you are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. If then. That's the tone of everything we've seen in 1 John so far. Go with me back to 1 John. Look at chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, then we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, then we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that's what verse 3 is saying. Then we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. All right, now this is the critical moment. Okay, here's the critical moment of the Bible study. Every time there is an if in the Scripture relating to our salvation, every time there is an if attached to our spiritual life or our spiritual walk or our good works, every time there is an if relating to any of those things, knowing the context of what our God has written in His Word, knowing that He is the sovereign over all things, all of these things, knowing that He is the author and the finisher of everything that pertains to us, He is the performer, He is the doer, and we're just dead in our sins, knowing that the Scripture says that about us, knowing that we cannot and will not do anything that pertains to eternal life. Knowing that truth, every time we see the word if in regard to our salvation, That if always goes to God. Always. It is always attached to God. It is always credited to God. Look with me at Psalm 14. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." And this is what man will stand up in pulpits today and say, God looked down through time at all the people to see who would do good and who would choose Him. Okay? If we do this, then He will do that. Right? God looked down through time to find the if they were good people, if they would give their heart to Jesus. All right, God did look down through time. Verse 2, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men," all of them, every generation, every soul on earth, "to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good." You tell somebody that and they'll say, "None that doeth good?" Here's the scriptural answer. No, not one. Not one. That's repeated in Romans 3. Go with me over to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they?" That's what that whole thing of if boils down to. Okay? If you are better than the rest of them, then God will save you. That's what if boils down to. Okay? If they did seek God and if they did choose God. All right? What are those who are saved? Are we better than they? He goes through this book of Romans saying, we were all cut from the same lump. Verse 9, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." The Jews said, those Gentiles are outcasts, they're heathens, they're sinners, they're... Okay, and that's what, you know, saved people are better than unsaved people. They're the outcasts. They're in the gutter. He said, no, no, we're all cut from the same lump. There's no difference in any of us. They're all under sin. Verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one." All right, now go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." If we keep His commandments, that is an evidence of His work, His doing, period. That if is credited to him. Now, here is an illustration of how all of this is worded. Okay, here's an illustration to try to clarify why everything is worded this way and how we understand that. Let's say that a man or a woman goes to college and gets a degree to become an engineer. I believe it would be a structural engineer. And then that person goes to work for a company designing bridges. Bridges for cars to travel over, people walk over, whatever. Bridges. And this person designs a bridge in a way that no one has ever seen before and gives that design to the contractors, and the contractors build the bridge to exact specifications. Now, there's the bridge. This can be said. If the bridge stands, then it is a perfectly designed bridge. That's true, isn't it? If the bridge stands, then it's a perfectly designed bridge. All right, that's the truth. But where does the credit for the if go? To the bridge? Mm-mm. To the engineer. To the master builder. If the bridge stands, that is the evidence, that is the result of the wisdom and the design of the master builder. The bridge did not design itself. The bridge did not build itself. The bridge gets no credit for anything. No credit at all. And that's how it is spiritually with all of God's people. We are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. We do not naturally keep His commandments. We didn't before, and in the flesh, we don't now. We didn't then, and we don't now. If we keep His commandments, it is a work that He performs for us and in us. If we do. And that's what verse 5 is telling us back in our text. If you'll look back at 1 John 2, verse 5, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily, that means truly, is the love of God perfected, revealed, evidenced. It's God which worketh in us both to will and do. He starts the work, He performs the work, He finishes the work. So here's the truth of the matter. When we read these verses, they could only speak of Christ. These verses could only speak of Christ. Only one man has ever kept God's commandment perfectly. Christ Jesus the Lord. Only one man has ever done that. Now, we're going to flip back and forth. Hold your place right here, and I'm going to be really quick about it. But hold your place and turn with me to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I came to fulfill every jot and tittle of it. Verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. What could the law not do? Save us. It could not save us because no man or woman could keep the law. So God sent His own Son and He said, lo, I come to do thy will. No sinner could do it. So Christ said, I'll go do it. I come to do thy will. Christ is the only man who's ever kept the commandments. Only man. All right, now flip back to 1 John 2. Verse 4 says, he that saith, I know him. Whoever says, I know him, must keep his commandments. Whoever says that, listen to the words of our Lord. Hold your place. Go to John 7. John 7, verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. He said, I know him. And in John chapter 8, verse 54, John 8, 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and he said, I keep his saying. I know him, and I keep his commandments. Go back to 1 John 2. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Where is the love of God found? Don't turn. I'll just read it to you. This is Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Who said, I abide in him? I'll read this to you. In John 14, Philip said, show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, believest thou that I am in the Father? This is verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Christ is the only one who kept the commandments. Christ is the only one who knows the Father directly. Christ is the only one who has the truth in him with no lie at all. Christ is the one who perfected the love of God. Christ is the one who walked as he walked. But he said right here, in this same chapter, verse 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. My work is going to be seen in them. They will keep what I've commanded them to keep, and we're about to look at it in the message. All right, now, we're going to close this with the same verse that we're going to open the message with. This will be a transitional verse. Go to 1 John 3, two verses. 1 John 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given unto us. All right, we'll look at that in just a minute. You're dismissed.